There are times in life where something happens and the rug is pulled right out from under you. Something changes in your life, something happens, and all of a sudden you're in a different direction, finding yourself having to make big decisions, not knowing how you got there. And often it's a great suffering that comes upon you. And next thing you know, you're having to deal with life on completely different terms. I'm thinking of an incident that happened to one of my brothers many years ago. Now, I'm from Long Island. I'm from a large family of 10 children. She's going to kill me for this, but my sister is sitting out here, and one of my sisters. Okay, I have five brothers and four sisters, and so this is an incident that happened to my brother George. George lives on Long Island, has two children. I think they were in high school at the time. And he was working for a company and where he was in charge of one of the divisions of the company. And he got called in by the owners and management, and they said to him something like, "Well, you're going to be fired." And it was like stunned. And then they said, "Well, we thought about it, and you can keep your job. But this is what we want you to do. You have to go back to this division where all these people are working under you, and you have to lie to them over the next few months. Let them think that we're keeping this division in the company. Don't let anyone know that they're going to lose their jobs, because if you tell them, then people are going to start going looking for work elsewhere, or they're not going to work as hard, or they're going to go off to our competitors, and we're not ready for any of that to happen yet. So if you do that, you let them hang on, then we'll find a place for you in the reorganization of the company." So all of a sudden, my brother had this decision thrust upon him. What do I do? I mean, he's a man of his own integrity, but worried about his own family, caring for them. What is he going to do without work? At the same time, thinking about people that he worked with and worked for him, that have their families and need their income, and misleading them and then working for a management that treats people like this, because I mean, who knows how they would treat him later. Whatever they'll do with you, they'll do to you. So he had to make a decision, and it was just suddenly thrust upon him. So when he left that meeting, he went back to his division in the company. And he told everyone everything about how they were going to be closing down that division of the company. He told all of them and was immediately fired. But he felt he had to do that, that was important, that he had to have compassion for other people. Now, he put himself at risk, and I'd like to say that it was a happy ending to the story. He kept his own personal integrity, but he didn't keep his job, and he found it really hard to find work it was close to a year, three quarters of a year to a year before he found work again. But he made a decision, because that's what happens sometimes in life. You're suddenly faced with something, and which way are you going to go? Are you going to serve somebody's idea of business and the almighty dollar, or are you going to serve personal integrity and have compassion for people? And there's something like that that's going on in the gospel reading that we just listened to. Yes, I will admit it is one of the most difficult passages, and thank you very much. But this parable we've been talking about it, discussing it for 2,000 years. What does it mean? How do we approach it? And there's been many different approaches. And it's been called by many different names. Sometimes it's been called the wily manager, the dishonest steward, the unjust steward. But I'd like to tell you a few of the details of the story. Now, in that culture, it seemed that at that period of time there were a lot of absentee landlords, or wealthy people that owned big tracts of property, and they had like tenant farmers, and the farmers had to give them a portion of the produce of the land in exchange for living on the land. And it was a very high, crushing burden that was placed on them They didn't have ownership of the land, so they had to do this in order to survive. And the way managers were often set up with these wealthy people is they were told there are certain targets that you have to hit, and if you hit those targets, fine, and anything above that, well, you figure it out. If you want to charge them more and keep that, and that's what a lot of managers did. They took extra, and so it was an even heavier burden on the poor people that were working the land. So this manager gets called in by the owner, this wealthy man, who says, I hear you're not handling things right, and so go give me an accounting of everything, because I'm about to fire you. So he's suddenly thrust into a situation where his whole life is about to change. Okay, his whole life. And when things like that happen in your life, you have it. Some things are so big and so important that they can either break you or they can break you open. So he has to make a decision here. He says, okay, what am I going to do now? I'm older. I thought this was going to be my job for the rest of my life, and I don't have it in me anymore to go out and dig and to dig ditches. And I'm like, it's really embarrassing, and I'm ashamed to go out on the streets and to be begging. What do I do? So he comes up with a solution. Now, it seems that in that culture, from what we can tell, managers had a power of attorney. They could act on behalf of their own, of the owners that they worked for, and their decisions would be legal. And so he hadn't been fired yet. The boss told him just wrap up the books, and so he still had power of attorney, and he made a decision to use that power. And he went down and he said to the first person, how much do you owe? And he said 100. He said, change it to 50. That was legal. He said to the next one, how much do you owe? 100. He said, make that 80. It seems that what he was doing was reducing the exorbitant fees that were placed on top of things and having mercy on these people. Because he said, what am I going to do here? I want people to welcome me into their homes. Now notice, he doesn't say, I want them to give me a kickback, or I'm going to even... If he wanted to, he had the power to even raise the amounts. He could have said to them, you think you only owe 100? You owe 150. And he could have pocketed the difference. But instead, he starts thinking of others and starts acting out of compassion. He says, I want them to be able to welcome me into their homes. Meaning, I want to be an accepted member of society again. I want the people, the less than wealthy people, the poor people, whose ranks I'm about to join, I want them to think of me as a decent man, because I really haven't been much of a decent man. And so the decision that he makes is a change. It's a change of direction, where he starts thinking of the needs of others, even though he's in the midst of a terrible mess himself. He starts thinking of the needs of others and starts acting in compassion. As I said, things can either break you or break you open. All of us, at some point or other in our life, are going to face suffering. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Things come upon you and your life takes a different direction. Maybe somebody very important to you, close to you, dies. My wife just lost her mother within the last 3 months. During the last year, I've lost 2 brothers-in-law. Somebody dies and it changes the direction of your life. Or maybe somebody leaves you, but in a different way. They just decide to walk out of your life, and suddenly you are in a whole other field. Or maybe you lose your job, or you find out that you have an illness, or somebody is suffering. All of those things can either crush you and bring you down and make you bitter and difficult, or they can sometimes break you open. And you start to realize, you know, there's been a lot of people in my life who have also suffered, and now I understand them. And now I have the eyes to look out there and see that there are others who are suffering. You can choose to live in a world where everything is about your own protections and accumulating all of your own money and wealth, to live in a non-generous way, which was the temptation that the man in the parable faced. Or you can live in a world where you start opening your heart and realizing that it would be better if we all shared, if we all cared about what others were going through and started to live that way, because we have a generous God. That's why Jesus was saying you can't serve both. You can't serve having a love of money. That's what it really means. He's not talking about money. It's this love of money and the need to accumulate money, and at the same time serve God, which is all about compassion and caring for others. Jesus is showing us a God who himself is generous, who's created this entire universe and given it to us, and is saying we have to become generous. When we start living in generous ways and seeing the needs and the suffering of others and extend ourselves to them in compassion, then we're starting to really live what the gospel is about. We're starting to really live what God is all about, a generous God. The reason I'm speaking to you today is because I'm announcing a course that I'll be teaching here in the Sayville, Bayport, Blue Point area. And it's going to be on Wednesday nights in October from 7:30 to 9. And it's going to be on this book. This is a book written by a Franciscan priest by the name of Father Richard Rohr. And it's called The Universal Christ. And this is a very exciting book. In this book, Richard Rohr talks about that the entire vast universe has been created through the power of Christ. Everything that we have, everything that we are, everything around us has been created through the power of Christ. That it's not like God visits the universe now and then. The entire universe is filled with the presence of God. The very pews that you're sitting on right now, the molecules that hold those pews together, are formed and kept in motion by the very presence of God. And how different it would be if we started to see the world in terms of the absolute presence of the universal Christ everywhere. If we started to share that and started to realize that, how that would change us. We started to see every person that came toward us as a presence of the Christ. If we started to see all other Christians even as being people who show us the presence of Christ. Let's face it, we live in a world where people are bad to each other, often very bad to each other, okay? I mean, I see it, right? I live in this town. I mean, people aren't always nice, okay? In fact, we could be a lot better. Even Christians toward each other, not liking one another. Do you realize that there are now over 30,000 branches of Christianity? 30,000 different denominations. And denominations that don't always even like each other. And yet we're being called upon to love the world. How different it would be if we could understand what the presence of Christ in the entire universe is telling us. So those are some of the things that are being covered in this book. He talks about the vastness of the universe. Imagine what we now know through science about the size of the universe. I mean, you look at the sun and you see the sun go across the sky and you have a sense of, well, the sun must be very big. You have any idea how enormous the sun, just the sun alone is? I was thinking of this the other day. You know, when the Apollo astronauts went from the Earth to the moon, it took, what, it took about 3 days for them to get there, just to get to the moon, all right? We could take the entire Earth and the orbit of the moon around the Earth and fit it inside the sun and still have room left over. That's how big the sun alone is. And the sun is just one of those minor stars that's out there. Imagine the enormity of the universe and all of this created through the power and presence of God. A God who is so generous and is offering this entire universe for us. How different it would be if we started to live that way and see every person that comes into our life as a presence of God. So those are things that, that this book by Father Richard Rohr are talking about, and many, many other topics. So it's, as I said, it's going to be on Wednesday nights in October, 7:30 to 9. Each night will be sponsored by a different church. I'm very excited that different churches in the area have said, we'd all like to do this. So I'm going to... It won't be the same material every week. It'll be different material from this book each week. And you don't have to actually read the book in order to come. It's open for all adults. You don't have to register. All you have to do is show up for any night or all of the nights. Okay. The first night in October is being held over at the Methodist Church right here in town, in Sable Methodist. And the second night is going to be right here. Okay, right here at St. Anne's. So I'd like you to really think about coming, because, you know, if you don't come, I'm going to be here by myself. I'm going to be a grown man crying all by himself, all right? So I'd really like you to think about it, because and come, because it'll be a chance to share with others and to learn more about the important messages that are found in our faith that could change the way we approach the world. Now, I've already checked the TV schedules. There's nothing on Wednesday nights, okay? Well, maybe there is, but you can always set the DVR or something like that. So I'd like to review with you what we're going to be covering and when we're going to be covering it. So it's going to be held on what night?
Wednesdays,
right? And what month?
October.
And it's at what time?
7:30.
Look at that. Look how awake everyone is. So I thank you for this opportunity to come here and preach and announce this course to you. And I hope to see many of you. And thank you very much for all the good that you do here in this town. Thank you.